You're listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C.
Welcome back to a special edition of Secure Freedom Radio. We're visiting with a woman in the front lines of the war for the free world. She is Ingrid Carlquist, an acute and astute observer of what is taking place in her native land, Sweden, under the, throes of what can only be described as an invasion or hydra by those emanating from the Muslim world. We've talked a little bit about Afghanistan. Some are clearly coming from Syria, but many are coming from other parts to what has been a very attractive destination in light of, as Ingrid mentioned in our first segment, the very generous social safety net that is afforded asylum seekers. Ingrid, let me just ask you one question about the composition of the population that has descended upon your country in the hundreds of thousands. It has been said of that migration elsewhere in Europe that roughly 70% seem to be unaccompanied military age men. Is that the case in Sweden as well?
Absolutely. It is so apparent in Sweden that now we just got the statistics just a couple of weeks ago saying that now for the segment of people who are between, I think, 15 and 25, there are 115 boys for every 100 girls. You know, when that happened in China, when they had this one-child policy, people were sort of very nervous about the fact that they had, I think, 110 boys in 100 girls. Now Sweden have 115 boys in every 100 girls. And you can imagine what will happen when they want wives and girlfriends and so on.
Well, in China, one of the concerns, of course, has been that demographic time bomb could well translate into external aggression to go satisfy the needs for those young men for whom there are no women to go find them elsewhere. In Sweden, it would certainly seem as though that may well prove to be a problem for the women of Sweden, first and foremost, would it not?
Absolutely. And you know what happened? The last few months, we have seen vigilantes all over, in many Swedish cities. There is a new group called Soldiers of Odin. Of course, the mainstream media, they are very worried about it. They say they are Nazis, and the police always complain that they don't have enough people. They don't have enough police officers to send out in the street.
Our guest is Ingrid Carlquist, and you were talking about this group of vigilantes. These are Swedes, I take it, who are now trying to protect their women folk and homes, is that right, against what they consider to be this invasion?
Absolutely, since we have so many rapes, and you know, most of the rapes are committed by strangers out in the streets. So these guys, they have decided that they want to protect the Swedish women. So they formed this vigilante group, and just in a couple of months, they have grown, you know, really, they are in very many cities right now, and they try to protect women, but the mainstream media, they portray them as Nazis, and the police, they are very afraid of these vigilante groups. But I think I don't like a society where we have vigilante groups, but when the police can't protect women out in the street, what can you do? There was actually one police authority in northern Sweden, in a city where they had so many rapes, attack rapes out in the streets in 1 month. So they actually told women and girls, do not go out on the streets alone. That is Sweden for you in 2016. One of the most, you know, equal societies where women have every right as men, and we have always been proud of being able to walk the streets without being raped. Now we can't do that anymore. Even the police tell us, don't go out alone.
Well, this really does bring us to sort of the broader problem that the free world is facing. What you've just described, Ingrid, of course, is effectively Sweden having to conform to the social norms and practices in many of these Muslim lands, that you have to be accompanied by a male, usually a male relative, in order to you know, muster out of your house. And also, I take it one of the other things that women are being admonished to do is to dress more modestly in Sweden. Is that the case?
Yeah, absolutely. We have seen in many schools that the headmasters They have been telling girls not to dress in mini skirts and to cover up a bit, because there are some newly arrived asylum seekers that are not used to seeing women like this or girls like this. So that's also happening.
Talk, if you would, Ingrid Carlquist, about the sort of broader impact of these demographic changes. I've understood from your writings at the Gatestone Institute and elsewhere that there have been expropriations of private property, as well as, you know, the transformation of government facilities to house these migrants, sometimes against the will of the owners, in the case of the private property. And that in some instances, the asylum folks have actually burned the places down. Give us a sense of what this is like in a very orderly, civilized society.
Yeah, I don't think there's been so much expropriation yet. There have been some houses where the landlord said, I don't want you as tenants anymore. They don't want the suite because they want to transform it to an asylum house, because there is so much money in this business. This is the business that is growing fastest in Sweden. There are so many people working and so many people making a lot of money on asylum houses. You know, you can imagine in the countryside there are these old hotels and spas and so on, and maybe they have some problem during the winter period. Not so many people go there to visit and to stay. So then comes the migration authority and they say, if you sign this contract for 3 years or 4 years, you will have all the money you want. So they do it. So now, you know, up until, 4 or 5 years ago, not the majority of the Swedes had really experienced what this change, this demographic change is bringing to them. But now we have asylum houses everywhere, even small villages in the countryside. And what is happening there? They, you know, people get scared. They don't want to leave their houses. I heard about an old man who's living in one of these so-called exclusion areas where there are mostly immigrants living. We have more than 150 of these areas in Sweden nowadays. And this old man, he said to a friend of mine, he said to him, you know, all the joy has left my life. I have no joy left in my life. I sit in my apartment. I don't want to go out, because when I do, these young Muslim guys come up to me and they harass me and they fight with me, and I'm so scared. Doesn't it want to make you cry?
It does. It does indeed. And Ingrid Carlquist, this point you've just made, which is so important for us to understand, give us a sense of how these exclusion zones come into being.
Yeah, because, you know, first of all, the migrants, they want to live together. If you are from Iraq, you will go to an area where many Iraqis live, and so on. And the Swedes, they didn't really mind that, because the Swedes want to live with Swedes. So what happened is that the big tenant houses where Swedes didn't want to live anymore, they are now occupied by solely immigrants, and in some areas they live like, 10 people in a two-room apartment. And so what has happened there, it's like Sharia zones in Sweden. The fire brigade can't go in there without calling the police to have the police escort them, because if they go in there and try to help someone, you know, take a sick person to hospital or there's a fire going on, they want to stop, they need the police, because otherwise the people who live there will throw stones at them. You know, we had one incident.
Hold the thought, if you would. Just 1 second, Ingrid Carlquist. We have to take a brief pause. You're describing no-go zones. This is a very controversial term, but I think it, as a practical matter, fits the bill, the implications of which we will discuss with you right after this.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.